Okay, so imagine this. You and your business partner, you're trying to land a major deal, something huge, like, say, an NHL franchise.
Okay, big stakes.
You're working together, putting in the time, coming up with a game plan, and then out of nowhere, your partner just cuts you out, goes behind your back completely, and gets that deal for themselves.
That's right.
Betrayal, right?
You would certainly think so.
Well, in this case, McConnell v. Hunt Sports Enterprises, it's exactly what happened.
Wow.
And here's the kicker. It was totally legal.
I'm intrigued. How is that possible?
That's what we're diving into today, how a carefully worded contract, it can really turn the whole idea of business partnership on its head.
Well, you know, what I find fascinating about this case is that it's not just some dramatic business story. It actually shows us these power dynamics. You see them at play in LLC agreements, especially when you have members competing against each other.
Yeah, so let's set the stage here. We've got John McConnell and Lamar Hunt, both big names in the business world. They decided to team up, form this company called Columbus Hockey Limited, CHL for short.
CHL.
Their goal, bring in an NHL team to Columbus, Ohio.
Makes sense.
They bring in some other investors. They create this formal operating agreement, and they start making moves.
And that operating agreement, that's a key piece here. It's like their rule book for the whole partnership.
Right, it lays out, who does what they're responsible for,
Exactly.
and, as we'll see, what they're allowed to do on their own.
Now, this is where Nationwide Insurance comes
Oh,
in.
yeah.
They come in with this very attractive offer. They want to build an arena for the team.
Perfect fit, you would think.
Seems like a crucial piece of the puzzle.
You need an arena, right?
Absolutely. No arena, no team.
But then things get a little, well, complicated. Hunt, on behalf of CHL, he keeps rejecting Nationwide's proposals for this arena lease. One after another, he just keeps shooting them down.
Interesting. What happened then?
Well, from what we can tell from the sources, that repeated rejection, that's what made Nationwide take a different approach. They decide to go around CHL and approach McConnell directly.
Bold move.
And McConnell, he sees an opportunity and he takes it, forms his own company, Colhawk, and boom, he secures the franchise on his own.
Wow, so he just left Hunt and everyone else at CHL high and dry.
Pretty much. And this is where that operating agreement we mentioned earlier, it comes back into play and things get, well,
I
interesting.
bet.
See, CHL's agreement, it had this very unusual clause.
What kind of clause?
It actually allowed members to compete with the company itself.
Hold on, so they agreed that it was okay to potentially like sabotage each other's efforts?
Yeah, it's kind of wild, right? But that's what makes this case so unique.
So what did the agreement actually say?
Well, specifically, Section 3.3 stated that members were allowed to pursue their own deals, even if it meant going head-to-head with CHL.
So you're saying McConnell was technically playing by the rules, even though it looks like a betrayal?
That's exactly why this whole thing ended up in court.
Makes
It
sense.
became this battle between the letter of the contract and the spirit of the partnership.
Right, that's a tricky one.
You have Hunt and the others claiming that McConnell acted in bad faith, but then you have McConnell's defense, which basically boils down to, hey, I just followed the rule book we all agreed to.
I see. So it's this conflict between what's explicitly stated in the agreement and what's kind of implicitly understood in a partnership.
Exactly. And the court had to grapple with this question. Did this unusual clause actually protect McConnell, even if his actions seemed, well, a little shady?
Or did he actually cross a line? We'll dig into that next.
So we're left with this contract that seems to allow McConnell to compete, but his partners are obviously not happy about it. How did the court even approach this situation?
Well, they had to look at a couple of key questions.
Okay.
First, did McConnell actually violate the operating agreement itself?
Right, like the strict letter of the contract.
Exactly. And second, even if he didn't technically break the contract, did his actions go against his fiduciary duty to CHL?
Okay, let's talk about that second part. Fiduciary duty, that's a pretty complex legal concept.
Yeah, it can be.
What does it really mean in the context of a partnership like this?
So it basically comes down to this obligation
Okay.
to act in the best interests of the partnership as a whole.
So not just looking out for yourself.
It's about putting the group's needs ahead of your own individual interests.
I see.
It's about loyalty, trust, good faith, all of that.
You can't just use your position to screw over the other partners.
Exactly. You can't undermine the group or secretly benefit yourself at their expense.
So even if the contract allows for competition, there are still these broader principles of fairness that partners are expected to follow.
Absolutely. The contract provides the framework, but it doesn't erase those fundamental duties.
I see.
Duties of loyalty, good faith.
So what happened in the actual court case?
Well, the trial court focused heavily on that Section 3.3 we talked
The
about.
one that allows for competition.
Yeah, that one. And they sided with McConnell.
Really?
They basically said the contract allows this kind of competition. We can't just ignore it.
So case closed. contract wins.
Not so fast. The appeals court, they agreed with how the trial court interpreted the contract.
Okay.
But they weren't quite ready to give McConnell a free pass when it came to the fiduciary duty question.
Interesting.
They basically said, just because the contract allows you to compete doesn't mean you can do it in any way you want.
Right. There are still some limits.
Especially if it harms your partners.
So they're saying there's a difference between healthy competition and deliberately trying to undermine the whole partnership.
Exactly. What raised red flags for the appeals court, even if McConnell's actions were technically allowed by the contract?
Yeah, what were they concerned about?
Was first, the secrecy of it all. McConnell, he was negotiating with Nationwide without telling CHL.
Behind their backs.
Right. And then there was this concern that he might have been intentionally sabotaging CHL's efforts.
To try and get the franchise for himself.
Yeah. So the court is saying it's not just about competing, it's about how you go about it.
Right. Playing fair versus playing dirty.
Exactly. The appeals court saw it as, even though the agreement allows for competition, it doesn't give you permission to act in bad faith.
Okay.
Or to intentionally cause harm to your partners. They sent the case back to the trial court to examine McConnell's conduct.
To figure out if he was truly acting in bad faith.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the case was settled before the trial court could issue a final ruling on that part.
Oh, that's a shame. It would have been fascinating to see how they ruled on the fiduciary duty issue.
It would have, but sometimes that's how it goes.
Things don't always get tied up neatly in the legal world.
That's true. But even without a final decision, I think this case highlights some crucial takeaways. Well, it emphasizes how powerful an LLC agreement can be. They can actually override those default fiduciary duties.
Which usually carry a lot of weight.
Right. They're meant to ensure fairness and loyalty within a partnership.
So it's a big deal if an agreement can override those.
It is. If you're forming an LLC or even just partnering up with someone, mm-hmm. pay close attention to what's in your operating agreement.
Especially when it comes to things like competition.
Right. This case is a perfect example of how a single clause, like Section 3.3 here,
yep.
it can change the entire dynamic of a business relationship.
And this isn't just a theoretical issue. These legal details have real-world consequences.
Absolutely. And another important takeaway is that just because you're following the contract to the letter,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't necessarily protect you from claims of bad faith or disloyalty.
It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Right. The courts will consider the full context, even if you can point to a specific clause.
So the way you compete matters.
It does. Even if something's technically allowed, it might not be in the true spirit of the partnership.
And that can have legal implications.
Right. It's not just about what the contract says. It's about how you behave within those boundaries.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. What exactly is a declaratory judgment?
Well, think of it as asking the court to step in.
Okay.
To clarify your rights under a contract or a law.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of waiting for a problem to happen,
right.
you're being proactive. You're asking for a ruling on how the law applies in your specific situation.
Got it. So in this case, McConnell wanted the court to say, look, this contract allows me to form my own company,
mm-hmm.
allows me to go after this deal, even if my partners aren't thrilled about it.
Exactly. He wanted that official confirmation.
Like a legal seal of approval.
Right. And in McConnell's case, he also wanted Hunt to cover the legal costs.
Ah, so that's where the dissenting opinion on attorney fees comes in.
Exactly. That part of the case is fascinating because it shows how declaratory judgments can be used strategically.
So Judge Bryant, who wrote that dissent,
mm-hmm.
he argued that McConnell was justified in seeking a declaratory judgment.
He did. Because Hunt's lawsuit, even though it ultimately failed,
right.
it created this cloud of uncertainty around McConnell's rights to the franchise.
So by going to court and getting that declaratory judgment,
mm-hmm.
McConnell wasn't just trying to clarify his rights. He was also trying to make Hunt pay for the lawsuit.
Exactly. Judge Bryant's point was that Hunt's lawsuit created enough of a problem for McConnell,
okay.
enough of a threat to his position, that it made sense for him to take legal action.
To protect himself.
Right, and to try and shift the financial burden onto Hunt.
So it's a pretty clever move if you can pull it off.
It can be. This case really highlights how declaratory judgments can be powerful.
Not just for resolving existing disputes.
Right, but also for managing risk and navigating these tricky legal scenarios.
All right, so before we wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah.
Let's summarize what we've learned from this whole icy legal battle.
Well, I think one of the biggest takeaways is just how powerful LLC agreements can be.
Uh-huh.
They can actually override those default fiduciary duties.
The ones that are supposed to protect partners.
Exactly. The duties of loyalty, fairness, all of that.
So anyone who's thinking about forming an LLC or even just entering into a partnership,
mm-hmm.
pay close attention to your operating agreement.
Especially when it comes to competition.
Right. This case is a prime example of how one single clause.
That's Section 3.3.
Yeah. can completely change the rules of the game.
Absolutely. And it's not just theoretical. This stuff has real-world impact.
And another key takeaway is that simply following the contract, it doesn't automatically protect you from claims of bad faith or disloyalty.
No, it doesn't. The courts will always look at the bigger picture, the context of your actions.
So even if you can point to a clause that seems to give you permission, you still have to be careful about how you compete.
Right. It's not just about what's allowed. It's about behaving ethically, being mindful of the partnership.
So to sum it all up,
the
words in the contract matter, your actions matter, and knowing how to use legal tools like declaratory judgments, that can be a real game changer.
Well said. And I think this case also shows that the line between teammate and competitor, it can be pretty blurry.
Especially in the business world.
Right. Even in what seems like a straightforward partnership.
That's a great point to end on. So to our listener, if you're ever in a similar situation, ask yourself, what safeguards would you put in place? How would you make sure things stay fair, even when competition is allowed? Because as we've seen, things can get pretty heated out there in the business world.
Definitely food for thought.
It is. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious and stay informed.